Its primary goal was to transform Russia into an advanced industrial state without the reliance on foreign capital. This massive industrialization, however, had to be preceded by an agricultural revolution, indeed, the collectivization of agriculture. The peasants under this scheme would be forced into large state-controlled farms, allowing the regime to control agricultural prices and the distribution of agrarian products. The state would then be able to squeeze a surplus from the agrarian sector that could be used to sell abroad for hard currency, the hard currency needed to pursue its policy of rapid industrialization. So rapid industrialization and the collectivization of agriculture were inextricably intertwined in this first five-year plan. The collectivization of agriculture was without question the most controversial and most resisted policy of the regime in its existence to date. It was resisted by the class of prosperous peasant proprietors, the kulaks, as they were known, people who had benefited from the redistribution of property from the large estates during the initial stages of the revolution. They resisted this attempt on the part of the Gosplan, the state, to collectivize agriculture. Indeed, many peasants destroyed their own livestock, their farm machinery, their farm implements in protest, rather than turning them over to the state in 1928-1929. During the first few months of 1930, 14 million cattle were slaughtered by peasant proprietors in an act of defiance against the regime. Better to slaughter their own animals, they argued, than to hand them over to the Gosplan, to the forces of the regime. The number of cattle in the Soviet Union fell by almost 50% by the end of the first five-year plan, not only leading to food shortages, but also to the lack of draft animals needed for farming itself. Yet collectivization proceeded, and proceeded with great brutality, reducing many below sub-subsistence levels. Even when production went up in 1930, the Great Famine of 1932-1933 resulted in as many as 6 million deaths in the countryside, about half of them in the Ukraine. This Great Famine, was sometimes referred to as the Terror Famine in the Soviet Union, was never acknowledged by the Soviet Union, never covered in the Soviet press. It was a non-event, but a non-event of enormous proportions, directly related, many felt, to the faulty plan of collectivizing agriculture. In addition, hundreds of thousands of kulaks were killed or sent to forced labor camps for their resistance to this policy. By the end of the second five-year plan, in 1937, almost all of Soviet agriculture had been collectivized, but at a terrific cost. This policy, and particularly in the period from 1928 to 1932, during the first five-year plan, this policy of collectivizing agriculture was pursued by the regime with great force, great vehemence, great determination, and resisted with equal strength, and would, in many respects, it certainly transformed the nature of life in the countryside in the Soviet Union and created the foundations for the agricultural revolution needed by the regime for its forced industrialization. The second five-year plan kicked off in 1933, after, of course, proclaiming that the goals of the first five-year plan had been achieved. By 1939, the two five-year plans had, in fact, accomplished a major metamorphosis of the Russian economy. Iron and steel production was increased by fourfold. Coal production, 3.5-fold. By 1938,